try and find some love for my pride. That just ain't enough to go around.
And Brian McTavish is here with our weekend to-do list, requiring us to listen to a little Jane's Addiction as we get started. Brian, it's great to see you.
Yes, I'm forcing Jane's Addiction on you.
I'm sure that's the only time I've heard it yet today, so I do appreciate that. Have you been, by the way? Always good to see you.
Haven't had a chance to jaw with you on the air anyway for a while.
It has been a while. And you are encouraging us to see some good old singers, right?
Whether I should or not.
Okay. Well, what's going on?
Jane's Addiction, alternative rock vets, are on a world tour after some years of being apart over the years since, let's put it this way. In the last 24 years, they've had 4 studio albums. That's it. Over 24 years since 1988.
No kidding.
I could be kidding, but that wouldn't be fair. 8:30 Friday, Jane's Addiction, Uptown Theater. They combine, how should I put this, let's say bohemian spirituality, if that even makes any sense. Doesn't have to, does it? They don't have to make sense if they don't want to.
No, I don't think we're going for sense here.
They have considerable heavy metal chops. I always get a tingle. I get a Led Zeppelin tingle when I hear these guys. They did hit the big time in the early 1990s, led by frontman Perry Farrell. He kind of had this hipster idealism combined with, I guess, there's no other word for it, but hedonism, along with guitarist Dave Navarro, who can grind with the best of the old schoolers but can make it sing in a modern way. Like I say, their big splash was in the late 80s, early 90s. Their first album was called Nothing's Shocking, which was disingenuous, obviously.
Because it was.
Well, the album cover was... Walmart thought it was shocking, I think, because it was a photo of, how would you describe this? Two nude, sort of Siamese twin-looking women combined as one, sort of. It caused a stir. But
I
it wasn't.
Can imagine.
Well, it kind of pushed the envelope. They kind of tore the envelope or threw it away with the second album in 1990 because there was a lot more, far more objectionable nudity, apparently. and leader Perry Farrell thought, okay, well, we'll just replace it with the words to the First Amendment against a white background. So take that, mainstream. Yeah.
Now, is this concert going to be with the original band? Is this one of those reunions that sort of replaces some or all of the members?
I dare say there might be one or one and a half newer members, but you're certainly going to get Perry Farrell and that guitar guru Dave Navarro. Their lasting legacy, interestingly enough, I mean, they do have a new album out called The Great Escape Artist. They've escaped from anonymity, but they created the Lollapalooza Festival, which is still with us today.
Their thing. So they have a lasting legacy.
They do indeed.
So this is Jane's Addiction at the Uptown Theater. You can find out information about that event and all of the other events on Brian McTavish's Weekend To-Do List at our website, kcur.org.
It's not that easy being green, having to spend each day the color of the leaves, when I think it could be nicer being red or yellow or gold or something much more colorful like that. It's not that easy being green. It seems you blend in
the
so
lovely tones of Glee.
Yeah, that's that Irish kid from Glee, right?
Yeah, the Irish kid. Well, I can never remember his name, but he won the contest to be on the show.
That works for me.
Yeah.
And of course, it's going to be very easy to be green at the big old Kansas City St. Patrick's Day
Parade. Oh, is that what we're talking
parade?
About? I was wondering if we were doing Muppets or St. Patrick's Day.
Okay. Whenever I can work in a sideways reference to Kermit the Frog, I will dare to do so. But indeed, Green.
Yes. Was this a song crying out for a cover? I'm not sure.
I'm not sure. Okay. I don't think you can top Kermit, but hey,
exactly.
Glee covers them all, man.
They really do, and do it very well.
And
this
they
is
do.
A lovely song, actually. So yes. What are we talking about?
Well,
why are we playing it?
It's the downtown. No, it's not downtown. Last couple of years of the big Kansas City St. Patrick's Day Parade.
Right, Midtown.
It's Midtown, so it's Saturday. It's the 40th annual promenade devoted to the patron saint of the Emerald Isle. 11 o'clock to around 1 on Saturday. It starts at 33rd and Broadway. It winds up somewhere around 43rd in Linwood, and it's absolutely free to check out, close to 150 entries. This thing is huge now. They claim it's the biggest single-day event in Kansas City
every year.
May or may not be, but it's a lot bigger than that 1973 Once Around the Block downtown. There will be TV coverage, both live and a highlight later in the day on Channel 4.
And although we have links at our website, as we always do, kcirishparade.com is the website for folks who want to look up a map or something along those lines, right?
Right. And also, St. Patrick's Day will be celebrated, as you'd expect, at 33rd in Pennsylvania, near the parade route at Brown's Irish Market in Delhi. Bring the kids to the wee Irish village and have a good time with face-painting moonwalks and it's one way to celebrate the death date of St. Patrick, so I wish them all well.
So we'll bear that joyful event in mind. Well, and speaking of violent death...
That's a transition in this business,
I guess,
right?
It is. Go for it.
Well, I sure hope the Jacksonville Sharks don't eat the KC Command when they have their arena football home opener at 7:30 Friday at the Sprint Center. Arena League football, your thing?
Not yet.
It's high scoring. They have a much smaller field. It's a lot faster as a result. It's kind of like indoor versus outdoor soccer, a much tighter space. That the rules are different. Punting is illegal because the field is so small. You can drop kick a field goal that's worth 4 points.
Mm-hmm.
It's like college ball. When a receiver catches the ball, he only has to get 1 foot in.
It seems a little like watching cricket or something. I don't know that the American fans have yet embraced arena football.
Well, I think the fan base is building, and I don't think you'll be able to hear crickets Friday at Sprint Center.
Let's hope not. And this is an alternative for those of you who are not mad about March in other ways, right?
Right, or not mad that we're not going to get Peyton Manning for the Chiefs, I guess.
And that's 7:30 Friday at the Sprint Center.
Just don't tell them I've gone crazy. And I'm still strung out over you.
Who are we listening to, Brian?
Jason Aldean, country rocker. 7:30 Saturday at the Sprint Center. He even throws in a little rap. He's traditional. He sings songs like Church Pew and this, whatever this is called, The Truth.
Yeah. I'm hearing the country. I'm not hearing the rock, but I'll take your word for it.
Oh, well, almost every song. The reason I chose this song to play is he doesn't have a 10-minute guitar solo that starts the song.
I getcha.
He likes to do his picking. Yeah, it's a good time.
So this show's sold out, I understand.
It is sold out, but I would advise fans to check at the box office shortly before the show starts at 7:30 Saturday at Sprint Center. Promoters frequently release tickets that they haven't given away to other hangers-on.
All right, so that's 7:30 on Saturday.
Yes.
And then one other event folks might want to consider in the world of theater, right?
Yeah, a very well-done job of a classic farce by Oscar Wilde, The Importance of Being Earnest.
A classic.
Yeah, American Heartland Theater at Crown Center. He makes wicked fun of marriage and other very serious social conventions during the super uptight Victorian era. It was kind of Oscar Wilde's greatest success on stage, but in ways we don't have time to explain, led to his tragic downfall as well, on a personal note.
Apparently he was eaten by a shark from the sound of things.
Yeah,
all right, well, Brian McTavish, as always, thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you for letting me join you, Brian.
Well, it's my pleasure to join you, Brian, and you can find guest bios about Brian and anything else we've talked about today, as well as archives and podcasts of all our programs at kcur.org, including all the links and all the information to Brian McTavish's weekend to-do list. Don't forget to follow KCUR on Facebook and this program on Twitter. We're at KCUR up to date. Tomorrow on the program, a conversation with a man who has photographed some of the world's most famous faces, and he's from right here in Kansas City, plus the Elders. Our music is by Bobby Watson and the UMKC Conservatory of Music and Dance Concert Jazz Band. We had help today from KCUR's Kathleen Pointer, Danny Alexander, Maria Carter, and Kim Noble. The show is produced by Steven Steigman. I'm Brian Ellison, and you are up to date.